The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
We love it. Good day, Tokers and welcome to the show. It is Monday, August 26, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We're really glad you could join us here at Rology Studios in beautiful Portland, Oregon, and so glad you could join us at 420radio.org. And for our fans out there, just want to let you know, we got some new stuff on the 420radio.org shop. You can now get our pins, which are perfect for your lapel. I don't know if you can see that. I got my lapel pin on. And we've also got a Big Daddy Fink Funky Roller Rink stickers, and we've got half-sheet postcards in packs of 20 that you can use to leave around town to help advertise 420radio.org. Check them out at the 420radio.org/shop, and you can get those right away. All right, on today's show, we've got more video from Seattle Hemp Fest. I know on Friday I said I was done, but we looked at the camera and went, oh my God, there's a whole other day's worth of videos we hadn't downloaded. We're just going to do that for another couple of days. And on today's show, our own Brian the Red interviews two different vape manufacturers. We've got Paradise Vapes and Mr. Vape. We're interviewed at the Seattle Hemp Fest. This is the new emerging technology for the concentrate crowd out there, the dabs, being able to use these efficient little pens rather than a whole big torch and rig setup. So this is great stuff. You'll want to hear about this. We'll put that in the Behind the Headlines segment. Also on today's show, we've got some Daily Toker Tunes for Roots Monday. A little outside of Roots Monday, but I saw this really groovy band called Eastern Sun. Kind of a meld of hip-hop and funk, and I really liked them, so wanted to give them a shot on our Daily Toker Tune, so check that out at 20 after. At 30 after, we got Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Every Monday afternoon, we talk with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, one of America's leading researchers in cannabis science, culture, history, and health. If you got a question, we're taking them live right here in our chat room. You can go to our 420 Radio chat room through 420radio.org, /login if you want to create yourself an account, and we'll answer your questions live. Or you can call in the old-fashioned way at 971-533-7111. Then at the end of the show, more cannabis community chat, some more interviews from Seattle Hemp Fest. We've got Oil Slick. We're going to talking about the dabs and the products involved with dabs. You got to check out oilslickpads.com. And our friends Jesse James Gardens, the growers up here in Portland, at the Herb Age Designs booth with our friend Herb Thrasher. It's a jam-packed Radical Russ Belleville show. Please stick around. We'll be right back.
Business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow.
Everywhere you go in Washington State, things are greener than ever. Why? Because last November, Washington voters made adult recreational use of cannabis legal, which is why the High Times U.S. Cannabis Cup is coming to Seattle once again to salute Washington's historic victory. If you love cannabis, then get yourself over to the High Times U.S. Cannabis Cup on September 7th and 8th as the marijuana community gathers in force to celebrate our newfound freedom. Meet the businesses of the emerging cannabis industry. Learn about cultivation, topical oils, concentrates, edibles, and more. Sample dabs, buds, and delectable morsels of cannabis cuisine. Then rock out on Saturday night at our Smokin' Hot Concert featuring Slightly Stupid and Redman. And of course, on Sunday evening, we present the U.S. Cannabis Cups for the top indica, sativas, hybrids, edibles, and concentrates of the great state of Washington. Plus, we honor professional traveler and outspoken cannabis advocate Rick Steves with the High Times Lifetime Achievement Award. Come to Fremont Studios on September 7th and 8th in Seattle for a historic celebration. Go to MedCanCup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
So, Sarah, what's going on here? Sarah? Sarah?
She won't answer you. Or she can't.
Why not?
This is the way it's been since she started smoking pot. She's all lazy and boring and... You know, we used to have so much fun together.
And now?
This is what we do.
This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, August 26, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Congress to hold hearings on marijuana laws. This from the Normal blog. Senator Patrick Leahy, Democrat of Vermont, has scheduled a hearing to address the conflict between state and federal marijuana laws. Quote, "It is important, especially at time of budget constraints, to determine whether it is the best use of federal resources to prosecute the personal or medicinal use of marijuana in states that have made such consumption legal," end quote, Senator Leahy stated. He continued, quote, "I believe that these state laws should be respected. At a minimum, there should be guidance about enforcement from the federal government," end quote. The hearing is scheduled for September 10th, and both Attorney General Eric Holder and Deputy Attorney General James Cole have been invited to testify. The hearing comes after 20 states have approved the medicinal use of marijuana, and two states have legalized it for recreational use. The Department of Justice has promised clarification for these states, but has thus far failed to provide any clear policy or guidance. It is the hope of Senator Leahy that these hearings will address the concerns of these states and provide them a way to move forward with their state-approved marijuana laws. 2012-2013 data shows only 12 tests positive in Utah welfare drug testing. From Deseret News. Utah has spent more than $30,000 to screen welfare applicants for drug use since a new law went into effect a year ago, but only 12 people have tested positive, state figures show. The preliminary data from August 2012 through July 2013 indicates the state spent almost $6,000 to give 4,730 applicants a written test. After 466 of them showed a likelihood of drug use, they were then given drug tests at a total cost of more than $25,000, according to the Utah Department of Workforce Services, which administers welfare benefits and the tests. Kaysville Republican Representative Brad Wilson, who sponsored the legislation last year, said in an email that the 12 people netted by drug tests might not represent the full picture. Wilson pointed out that 24% of applicants who were required to take a drug test didn't and did not continue in the application process. He said the process could be identifying applicants with drug issues who did not want to follow through and get treatment. Medical marijuana, hundreds in Maine apply to grow state-produced pot. From Bangor Daily News. An annual report from the Department of Health and Human Services released Thursday shows the medical marijuana program has been growing in Maine and is in the midst of a reorganization. Some 575 people applied to the state last year to grow medical marijuana, 521 of those new applications. The state's 8 medical marijuana dispensaries employed 84 people. The Maine Medical Use of Marijuana program took in $612,000 in fees and spent considerably less, $466,000. Though there are no hard figures, it is estimated 13,000 patients use medical marijuana in Maine. Jeremy LaFavor, Missouri Democrat, arrested for marijuana possession. From Huffington Post. Missouri State Representative Jeremy LaFavor, Democrat, was arrested Sunday on suspicion of possessing up to 35 grams of marijuana and possession of drug paraphernalia. According to a Missouri State Highway Patrol's arrest report cited by Politics Mo, LaFavor was pulled over for failing to respond to an earlier charge that he had operated his vehicle with expired license tags. On top of the drug charges, the arresting officer also charged him with failure to appear at court for traffic offenses. In a statement, LaFavor, a first-term lawmaker and chairman of the Missouri House Democratic Victory Committee, apologized for the incident. Missouri has some of the harshest anti-pot laws in the nation. Possession of any amount of marijuana under 35 grams is punishable as a Class A misdemeanor, a charge that carries up to a year in prison and a $1,000 fine. Anything in excess of 35 grams becomes a felony, punishable by at least 7 years in jail and a fine of $5,000 or more. Denver Council defies mayor and chooses 3.5% tax rate on retail marijuana. From Denver Post. In a tight vote last week, the Denver City Council defied Mayor Michael Hancock's request to ask voters to approve a sales tax rate for retail marijuana that begins at 5%. The council, in a 76 vote, chose 3.5%, siding with auditor Dennis Gallagher. The auditor sent each council member two letters within a few weeks of each other, pleading with them to pick 3.5% over 5%. Chief Financial Officer Kerry Kennedy said the 3.5% tax is expected to bring in $3.4 million a year to pay for regulation, enforcement, and education around the new industry. At 5%, the tax would have brought in an estimated $4.8 million, she said. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, August 26, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines at the new emerging personal pen vaporizer industry with interviews by Brian the Red of Paradise Vapes and Mr. Vapes, two vaporizer vendors at the Seattle Hemp Fest. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Pipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack, go!
I helped murder families in Colombia.
It was just innocent fun.
I helped kidnap people's dads.
Hey, some harmless fun.
I helped kids learn how to kill.
I was just having some fun, you know. I helped kill policemen.
I was just having fun.
I helped the bomber get a fake passport.
All the kids do it.
I helped kill a judge.
I helped blow up buildings.
My life. My body.
It's not like I was hurting anybody else.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high.
All right, Brian the Red here at Seattle, Washington. This is HempFest 2013, and I'm here with the guys from Paradise Vape. We got Tio and Ziggy.
Ziggy.
Okay. So, I've been seeing a lot of vape pens going around. Seeing a lot of yours being worn around, especially backstage and such. Why don't you tell us a little bit something about what makes your vaporizer different, or something about your company, Paradise Vapes.
Paradise Vape is based out of Southern California. Everything's made here in the U.S. We also, and our whole product line comes with batteries, chargers, everything with it. And it does three burner. It does all four items: teeners, wax, dry herbs, and e-liquid. Pretty universally, they come out. You change your head. You put your new head in. Push the button. Really simple. Getting clouds.
Excellent. So you can use that with any form of wax or a booter, and yep.
Anything with marijuana with it. You can do all three, all four, everything that you want.
Any kind of cannabis. That's a multi vape right there.
Yes,
that's excellent.
Four in one. Yeah.
You have two if you
want. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, you know, different strains.
You can find us at ParadiseVapeUSA.com.
Okay, online. What's the ticket price on those usually?
Oh, dude, right now we got a special for all three in one. You get $50 retail. You get everything.
Very nice.
All right.
All right,
Happy 420 HempFest Seattle.
Yeah, check them out on Paradise Vapes. And thanks for watching 420radio.org.
Thanks.
All right, Brian the Red here at the Dr. Vape tent here at Seattle Hemp Fest on day three. I'm here with
Vince Corsoletti.
Okay, and tell us a little something. Why is your product different here?
Well, before we started this business, we did a little research by buying the more inexpensive vape pens out of China. And what we came out with is that the burners were acrylic, and the acrylic burners leave a burnt taste in your mouth when you're smoking out of these pipes.
Yeah.
Second problem we noticed, everybody was complaining about batteries, how the batteries in the vape pens or the electronic cigarettes don't last. So what we decided is we talked to a manufacturer in China to make us a high-end 650 Nah battery, which we could warranty for a year without any problem. We also went to a Pyrex glass tube, a Pyrex glass globe versus a regular glass globe, and it saves the breaking that a lot of people have with their problems with their globes. And it seemed to be a pretty good product. We're selling them here at HempFest today for $50. On the market, they're $80. So it's kind of we're giving the wholesale price to the retail today, and it seems to be working pretty good.
Okay, so why don't you tell us a little what's different about your vape pen?
Our vapor, the way our pipes burn because of the ceramic burner and the hot spot on our battery, It's an instant smoke. You don't have to wait for it to warm up. It instantly hits. It works real well for dabs, oils, any sort of concentrate that burn clean.
What's the element, the metal and the element that you're using?
The element we're using is a stainless steel element.
Okay.
And unless you try to clean the element itself, the thing won't burn out on you. They do tend to, upon use, depending on your sort of using, they will need to be replaced.
Okay.
But it really depends on how much they're used. Myself, I might do four or five a day. I think an element will last me 4 months.
Yeah. Okay, great. I want you to show off your product there.
Here's a Dr. Vape. It looks a lot like everybody else's. A lot of the pens look the same on the market. Our difference is we went with a Pyrex glass. A lot of them are using a standard glass, which tend to break. We went to a ceramic bowl, where a lot of people use acrylics. Like I said earlier, when the product's gone, all you taste is burnt plastic.
Okay.
We don't have that with these.
And pretty easy to clean that element there?
Yeah, the element here actually, cleans itself because you heat it.
Okay.
So when the proper oils are used, if you're not using a dry product, they just dissipate with heating up the element, just like that.
Okay. And is there a safe way, though, to clean
around it?
Is this part removable from the battery?
Yes, it is.
Okay, it's hot now. You don't touch it. So.
Actually, it's really not.
Oh,
it's ceramic.
Oh, well.
But, yeah, it just unscrews from the top of the battery. And what we recommend to people to even make their batteries last longer in the warranty.
Take the battery off.
We tell them to use a Q-tip with rubbing alcohol, and it'll clean any secretions from the oil that's been burnt. You clean the contact point of the battery and then the hot spot on the burner, and it tends to make your battery last 4 or 5 times the normal time use.
Excellent. Great. All right. Well, thanks
for
hanging out, and thanks for being here vending at this.
All right. Good work by Brian the Red there on the interview, man. Thanks. Show him on your camera there. We got the, that's the Paradise one, right?
Yeah, this is the Paradise.
Watch that film up. Fill up, people. Check that out.
Looks like it's 420 somewhere.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
It's quite simple. I'm a very nasty drunk. I get mean. I get loud. I'll tell your deepest, darkest secrets to a stranger, and I'll puke on your shoes. So, if that's the kind of behavior that this culture promotes, you know, fuck it.
Your one-room schoolhouse of choice. Your one-stop freedom shop. It's the Libra Lounge.
Sundays at 3, right here on 420radio.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
I always love coming back from Seattle Hemp Fest because there's so much great music on so many stages there that we always have plenty of tunes for the next couple of weeks, and today is no different. I was walking around the Seattle Hemp Fest when I heard this great little funky guitar riff going on, and I looked up to see this beautiful woman playing the guitar, and then two guys rapping on top of what she was playing. It was a most interesting combination there, and I just wanted to bring that to our Roots Monday today. And the group is called Eastern Suns. That's S-U-N-Z, and you can find them on Twitter at Eastern Suns as well. Their website is easternsuns.com. And before we get to that, I just want to remind you that coming up in the next couple of weeks, all sorts of great events where we'll be bringing you more video coverage, including the Seattle Cannabis Cup on September 7th and 8th. I'll be there at the High Times Seattle Cannabis Cup. And if we've got internet, we'll see what we can bring you live. If not, we'll just bring you as much video as we can the following week. Also, Herbage and Brian will still be down here at the Portland Hemp Stock, and I'm sure they'll have all sorts of stuff from ICO and the other handy cams and so much stuff to bring you. And then the following week, September 14th and 15th, for the first time, 2 days, the Boston Freedom Rally. So I'll be up there collecting, again, more video, more speeches, more bands, and we'll have ourselves a great time over these next couple of weeks. And it's only possible thanks to your support here at 420radio.org. You can log on to 420radio.org and help support our efforts by becoming a VIP member. Look for VIP membership. Support begins at $9.99 a month. We're like public radio. We are listener supported. If you like what you're getting, please chip in and help keep it free for the people who can't afford it. Also, if you don't want to do a monthly thing, we've got a one-time donation if you'd rather do it that way. All right, let's turn things over to the music. This is Eastern Suns from the main stage at Seattle Hemp Fest last Sunday. Enjoy.
If happiness was water, oh, I'd never run dry. No fire's too hot, no flow is too cold.
You're the writings on the wall, but we're staring at the ground. Yeah. The entire empire's wise and round. Cracks in the ground, pass it all around. As our souls get stolen, sold by the pound. They vilify the little guy, little by, little, they divide us down the middle of the middle eyes. Until they fill our minds and drill into a hell of sad. Who am I to criticize? Just another filler stone. And the kind of blow to ever mess with the trust code. Find me in the grimiest spots on the way. West Coast. C to the A to the S and all the rest go. B, Travis, C, cure for rage in the flesh. So grab your best bowl, light it up and let's go. Living up the mood tonight and write a manifesto.
You could be heard.
Or reported like shit.
Be the early bird.
Or get murdered in your sleep.
In this hostile environment, you're wonder when the fire went. Ascending masses step back to earth to maritime it. Wonder when the fire went.
Where the fire went.
Where the fire went. Wonder when the fire went.
In this hostile environment, you're wonder where the fire went. Ascending masses step back to earth to
maritime it.
Wonder where the fire went.
Where the fire went.
Where the fire went.
Silent, we got to reflect on the retirement. Ill out in these fucking streets, days accumulate to weeks. Still, we gotta find a way to eat. Blood and sweat until the mission's complete. Y'all know the drill, stakes so high, the folks get physically ill like frozen steel. Here's your pizza with the 90 of these. Pulling roofs off of the houses and uprooting the trees. Getting dead zones of various seeds. Pulling a tan and the fairies' feet. These pets appreciate my feces. I'm trying to rock the shit for the streets. What if we're gonna find a solution with this guy to eat? Hold your thighs as they cut it and leap. Word is born from the time I hit the stage till the day that I'm gone.
One thing I know, it's how to drive when I'm stoned. It's like you know your perspective's fucked, so you just gotta let your hands work the controls as if you're straight.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, everybody, half past on a Monday, and that means it's time for our medicine. We got Dr. Mitch Earlywine on the line. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Not bad.
Having a good day myself, although I'm just getting over this terrible, terrible head cold that I got at the Seattle Hemp Fest, and I guess I needed to wash my hands more and maybe not share so much while I was there.
It's hard not to share, but sometimes it's the best practice.
Well, I'll still recover and do the best I can today. At the beginning of this segment, we always like to have some time here for people to get their questions into our chat room. While you're doing that on the chat, just type a Q colon at the beginning of it, and that gives us an icon, makes it easy to pick out. Also, you can call at 971-533-7111. But we always start with Dr. Mitch telling us the latest in cannabis science. What's happening, Dr. Mitch?
Oh, Paul Armentano was nice to send a new study around from the Journal of International Neuropsychological Society, and they're trying to identify neurocognitive performance deficits in young adult cannabis users, and they're finding some in men and some different ones in women, and they're hypothesizing a lot about maybe there's some wild gender roles that fit into it and stuff like that. But I want folks to interpret this with a real grain of salt, because anytime you start fishing around like this, I have to wonder how many neuropsych tests did they actually give, and the fact that it works with some men and only other ones on women makes me have to wonder how many statistical tests did they actually run before they published this paper. So I wouldn't make a big deal out of this. We've always talked about how, you know, marijuana is not for teens, and that's fine, but I wouldn't make too much of a big neurocognitive performance in young adults when they've run this many tests on this many people.
You know, you mentioned that the sample difference in gender. Is there a big difference between men and women when it comes to some of these neurocognitive disorders and tests?
Well, literally 2 years ago, my student Allison Luby did something comparable, and she told the men and women, "Hey, these are going to be really sensitive to your cannabis use," or she said, "Hey, these aren't sensitive to cannabis use at all." Mm-hmm. And the women actually reacted in the opposite way. So if you told a woman, "Hey, you're a pot user and you're going to show deficits on this test," they immediately essentially said, "Sure, bitch," and started doing even better. So okay. I think that, you know, the moral "don't mess with women who smoke pot" is certainly one you want to keep in mind. And I just feel like that's something we want to think about contributing to each of these kinds of performances, because it's never the same test over and over again. It doesn't seem like the cannabis-related deficits are showing up on the exact same cognitive functioning issues, and so I'm always just a little apprehensive about it.
Hmm. Well, that study, all that information dovetails well into a question that we got by email. That's another way, folks, if you want to get your questions in, you can go to our 420 Radio contact page. Bo asks this. He's asking about the lumosity brain exercises, and he says, "On several occasions, I've completed the training for the day, then get high and take the test again. Each time I do this, my scores are higher after smoking. Is this normal?"
Well, in fact, a lot of those are cognitive tasks where practice is a big issue. So he'd obviously have to go on again and get high first and then try it after he comes down to sort of see if it's practice or if it's a cannabis effect. And then some of those tests are really kind of odd in that they are timed, and so they kind of induce anxiety in folks. And if the cannabis is decreasing that concern, it's funny how it actually can facilitate performance on some of those timed power type tests.
Hmm, interesting. All right, we have a question from our chat room. Runaround 666 wants to know, if someone gets an anxiety or panic attack from cannabis, can giving them a high CBD strain help to counteract the panic attack?
Pharmacologically, that makes some sense. But I think people who are having an adverse reaction to cannabis saying, "Hey, the cure is more cannabis,"
is
a little bit of a hard sell sometimes. I find if you give somebody just a Benadryl or an antihistamine that's mildly sedating and put them in front of the cartoons, they usually do fine.
All right. And good question, 666. Very, very interesting. Now, in the news, we talked today about Senator Patrick Leahy calling together a commission to discuss the war on drugs and its impact on, you know, the budget of all things. We've also seen that drug czar Kerlikowske's on the way out, and I've seen some people lobbying, or I saw mention that maybe the next drug czar ought to actually be a doctor. And I'm wondering if you think that's possible. Do you think that the next drug czar nominated could be a doctor? And given the way the position is described, having to oppose legalization, could a doctor in good conscience take the position?
I'm apprehensive about an MD taking it, not because I think MDs wouldn't be good, but I think the MD they would pick would be such a hard ass that it would be worse than having a cop. I mean, it's funny how it's like, you know, Nixon can go to China and not be called commie. If an MD is going to be drug czar, he's going to have to be super hardcore, all, you know, into treatment and enforcement and stuff like that, so he doesn't get called soft on drugs, essentially. So I'm really kind of cautious about it. I'd much rather see Ethan Nadelman, you know, somebody who's clearly on our side, who has a PhD and is neither cop nor physician, but maybe the policy wonks just aren't going to get their turn.
Yeah, and in that piece, it was suggested that a doctor like Dr. Nora Volkoff would be a selection. So there's your example.
I mean, that's a complete nightmare as far as I'm concerned. She's been at NIDA trying to develop a, you know, vaccine against addiction. And this, you know, drugs are a brain disease model has just really at least driven me completely crazy.
And is that is something we hear, you know, discussed many times, addiction. You know, we should treat drug abuse as a health concern. And a part of that is people calling addiction a disease. I know when I was growing up, my father was an alcoholic and they said it was a genetic predisposition. And people that are predisposed to it, if they try it, they'll have more chance of addiction. What's the truth behind that? Are we talking disease like a disease you can catch or pass on to someone, or how does that definition hurt or help to discuss this issue?
I think if you think about the history of when the disease model actually hit, before that was this kind of moral weakness model where basically you were addicted because you didn't have enough willpower and you basically didn't go to church enough. And I mean, it was really creepy before that. Okay. And then people were blamed for having it. So it was a rough model, and the disease model was a really nice step in the direction of helping, you know, people understand that nobody's doing this consciously. Nobody wakes up when they're six and says, "Gee, I want to grow up and be a crackhead." You know, it just doesn't work that way. I do feel like the behavioral interventions have taken it a further step and said, you know what, this is a learned behavior, a lot like any other learned behavior. We do inherit dispositions and tendencies to react in different ways to certain substances and certain activities. That part's heritable, but then what we do with that is what we have control over. And it's not a disease like anthrax or something like that. And if the disease model works for you, by all means, go for it. But let's treat this like something we can unlearn, just like we unlearn other bad habits.
All right. Another question from our chat room. Howdy, y'all, wants to know, are you aware of studies on differences between outdoor grows and indoor grows? And if so, what has been their focus?
It's curious because they don't get to publish a lot on things like that in the mainstream literature. So there's a lot of lore. And, you know, our pals Danny Danko and folks like that really are on top of that. What I have seen is more stuff that's focused on amount of light and temperature and things like that, things that can be more easily controlled indoors. And those go pretty much the way you'd expect, with hotter and more light making for more THC and a lot more resin.
All right. There was a story that came up last week in Rolling Stone. Can marijuana improve your emotional state? And Subhead says, study says THC could play an important role in how we process negative emotions. This is some study that came from the Journal of European Neuropsychopharmacology. There's a $12 word. And has to do with endocannabinoids and how we process negative emotion. What are the impacts of this study, and what does it mean for how we might treat people?
The hypothesis is that there are two brain parts, the amygdala and the hippocampus, that are really involved in how a lot of this works. And the hippocampus is very much about memory, and the amygdala is very much about extreme arousal and emotion. And when they are communicating with each other, okay, that's delightful. But during trauma, they can really sort of overpower each other, and then the memories end up riding the amygdala in a way that's maladaptive. When it's no longer time to be aroused, it's simply just a cue from something that was similar to the trauma. The endocannabinoid system, as we know, can essentially hit all those cannabinoid receptors in both areas, but the hippocampus is particularly rich in them. And so here's an opportunity to essentially have the memories and the cues show up without all that wild arousal going on in the amygdala. And then the hope is, with repeated exposure this way, some of that arousal might dissipate even in the absence of cannabis.
You know, we talk a lot about the lack of studies that are granted to show the benefits of cannabis, and how National Institutes of Drug Abuse funds studies to find what's bad about cannabis. John Thomas from our chat room brings up something that I'm glad he did, because he reminded me of this. I saw it this morning, where National Institutes of Drug Abuse have been giving a $1.86 million grant to study the effect of marijuana on domestic violence. John Thomas wants to know, where in the world are they getting this approach?
I mean, I'm so flabbergasted by that, I don't even know where to begin. And nevertheless, it sort of shows what happens. So you can imagine, when I submitted a grant that week about cannabis and improvement of PTSD, what a surprise. Mine didn't even get opened, and that one suddenly got over $1 million.
Wow. This is just insane. Do we have any previous studies or information on a link between cannabis and domestic violence?
No, see, it's all this, let's take what we found with alcohol and apply it to cannabis.
Yeah.
So we have tons and tons of data that show that alcohol not only increases domestic violence, but you can be mad at someone else and basically kick your dog and your kids and your wife after alcohol. So, I mean, it's really a spooky drug as far as that's concerned. And I'm sure, you know, these researchers are doing the best they can, but you take those same models, plug in marijuana, and hope the reviewers are going to buy it, and apparently they did.
Will this backfire on them and show that there's not a link and maybe even a disassociation between marijuana and domestic violence?
Well, and then the sad part is, their pressure will be to not publish that, or to find one small negative thing where, you know, the people smoking marijuana reported more irritability, as if, you know, a 5 means more than a 5.2,
yeah,
you know, something silly like that. And then they'll publish that part alone, and then they'll do everything they can to try to get more money to follow it up.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, we will keep an eye on that and let everyone know what gets reported, if anything, on that study. I know marijuana mellows me out. I cannot see it increasing domestic violence in any way. Ask any cop who's responded to a domestic violence call. Hey, Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us here every Monday. We'll be back again next Monday. If you didn't get your question in, visit our chat room or send it to 420research@gmail.com. Talk to you again, Dr. Mitch.
Get well soon.
Thank you, man. When we come back, more video from MempFest.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less.
Once again, folks, item J343 is the Surfing Monkey Coin Bank. It's great for graduations, wedding gifts, and I believe we sold out on this one last time, so please do not let this one pass you by. Now let's go to caller Scott in Nashville.
Hello.
Now, Scott, I understand you just bought 15 of our Surfing Monkey Banks. Is that true?
Yeah. Chill, man. I'm on TV.
The Russ Belville Show.
I'm not very good at singing songs, but here's a try.
According to lifelong pot smoker and rocket scientist Carl Sagan, making apple pies from scratch is extremely difficult.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
Radical Russ and the Rolla J Studios crew will be right back after these messages.
A morning filled with 400 billion suns.
horizon of the Milky Way.
Cosmos is full beyond me.
The cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, for the chat today, we're going to take a chat with Oil Slick, the vendor of the items necessary for those of you doing the dabbing, the containers and the pads and all that kind of cool stuff. And then we go over to Herbage's booth, where he was sitting in back there with Jesse James, Jesse and James from Jesse James Gardens, talking about marijuana. So a couple more videos from HempFest. Thank you and enjoy.
Radical Russ here, 420 Radio, live coverage of Seattle Hemp Fest 2013. We are at Dab Central. This is a big 20 by 20 booth that features Happy Daddy Tools, Cliff Maynard Roach Paper Art, Handmade Apparel, 420 Radio, and Oil Slick, which is living large here at Seattle Hemp Fest. I've seen you guys everywhere. What's happening?
Thank you for having me on. Yeah, what's happening? Well, we're having a pretty decent hemp fest, I'd say. I think it's a pretty gorgeous couple of days, and getting the word out about our company and about what we do, and so happy to do it with such awesome people in our community.
Yeah, I saw you got the sponsorship banners up on the stages. I've seen the flyers up on the guardrails. But for people that are outside of the West Coast or maybe Denver, they might not know a whole lot about the oil culture and dabs and why your products are so useful. So let's give them that.
Okay, I'll give it to them in a nutshell if I can.
Tell us more.
Well, our motto is that we make tools to help you concentrate. And by that I mean we have tools to help with the unique challenges posed by the use of cannabis concentrates and for the concentrate market. So any kind of extraction is typically quite sticky and quite valuable.
Yeah.
And you, as a rule, don't want to lose any of it if you can help it. So the lip balm containers and some of the food products that are out there that are really not engineered for the purpose, well, they leave a lot to they leave a lot of challenges unanswered.
Oh yeah, well,
and so we're spending our time answering those challenges and working on those things.
I know. I've heard of, you know, you get the jar and you've got so much sticky in there and you're just trying to pick that out. And it's so gooey and won't get on. I mean, so I've heard.
Yeah,
allegedly.
Well, we have, allegedly, huh?
Uh-huh.
Well, the fact of the matter is that some people just need a little container like this, and so we make these small mini balls.
So what is this made of? It feels rubbery.
Yeah. Well, it is made of a type of rubber called silicone. The unique thing about our silicone is that we are uncompromising in the quality and purity of the ingredients that we use. That includes platinum curing for the silicones that we use. Instead of the lower grade food grade silicones that are commonly available, we use medical grade silicone.
And so stuff's not going to stick to that?
No, we make small pads like these duos, we make larger ones. We make table cover ones, 6 square feet of platinum cured silicone to cover your table and to dab off of to protect your glass. But the long and short is that we are a progressively minded company that realizes that as we emerge into this new period, we have unique challenges that are unanswered by existing technologies. So everything we do will be uncompromising in quality, but also in innovation. So I can't wait to show you what we have coming out next. You'll have to get with me at the maybe at the Cannabis Cup or one of the upcoming events I'm sure you'll be at.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk about that next time. But in the meanwhile, we have stacks and minis and pads and duos and slabs and soon sheets and stuff like that all out there for anybody who's involved in cannabis concentrates of any kind.
So how long has Oil Slick been in business? This is a pretty new phenomenon, the whole
oil
thing.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago when my dad came home with this little lip balm jar completely coated in his extremely valuable and very, very sticky concentrate. And it was a quick progression from that into some of the pads that we were making just to handle it and deal with it. But then we started speaking to more people in the testing and scientific community about the differences and the uses of platinum cured silicone, the certifications that are actually kind of low in the United States for food grade silicone, and we started exploring the new ingredient aspect of it and saying, hey, you know, if we're going to make these, we need to make them not just functionally for this community, but as far as the purity concerns that exist in this community, they can be uncompromising there as well.
Yeah, a lot of people have compromised immune systems, disabilities that would make any ingestion of foreign substances kind of...
That's right, and I do not, and I still don't want any of that.
Now, is that to say that this food-grade materials that are used in certain products, that that would be potentially harmful in some way?
Well, I am not a doctor, so it goes like this. Peroxide is used to catalyze 99.9% of the food-grade materials in the world today.
Okay.
And I say the world because Europe has the highest standards, and even they typically use peroxide-cured silicones that are of higher purity than our own here in the U.S.
Okay.
Now, that might be fine for baking cookies when it comes to the extractables that are trapped inside of these silicones, but medical-grade silicones have zero extractables. To achieve that, they use a more expensive catalyst. So our silicone is more expensive, so the ingredient is more expensive, and it's harder to work with, etc. But from a purity aspect, it is the lowest level of extractables possible with that ingredient, being silicone. So we borrowed from the medical community rather than from the cookie baking community.
Sure, sure. And you mentioned the word platinum, right?
Yes.
We're talking actual platinum.
We're talking about the element.
Wow, okay, this is not like just because gold, silver, platinum is the best, it's actual platinum. That's pretty spendy.
No, I don't want your viewers and listeners to fall asleep.
Yeah.
But silicone starch is a goop, and to make it hard, you have to add some stuff to it to make the catalyzation happen. And depending on what you add, that's also has a lot to do with what's left behind.
Wow. Actually, our listeners and viewers are very into this stuff. I'm sure that's actually pretty fascinating to them, the way that these products differentiate the oil slick products. And if people want to get some of these and look this up on the interwebs out there, what would they look up?
Well, they can always go to our website, which is www.oilslickpad.com. And they can get general information there and some links to some retailers, but we are a mainly wholesale corporation, and we have some wonderful local shops and retailers, so I would urge them all to first check with their local stores. We really support those guys. They're the ones who work for us day after day in their own local shops and local neighborhoods. So please look for some of those. Online you can look for Aqua Labs or Masterminded or One Source, which we're very happy to work with. Some of the larger extraction experts, another amazing online partner. Here locally in Seattle, there are so many I can hardly name. Go to our website. There is a map there. There is a map there that you can see. We list quite a few of them, but just pick up the phone, call your local guy. Believe me, they've heard of us.
Yeah.
And if they don't have them now, you can get in touch with us. We can make sure that they have them and support your local businesses.
That's great. And that's the other thing about oilslickpads.com is that support for the local businesses and the activists that are working on this, because you know that these are the people that are fighting for more freedom, and more freedom just means better business for everyone. So let's all support each other. That's
and
fantastic.
You know, money isn't everything. We are not just a company. We're also a bunch of pot snobs.
There we go. So, it's been great being here in this. This is basically Dab Central. We've got four or five different groups here, and it's been very comfortable, very welcoming. And thanks for putting this on. This is an amazing place.
And thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
And thank you for being here. You're awesome.
Oh, thank you, man. Oilslickpad.com. Check it out.
We're backstage at Earth Age Designs. And there's Irv and Asher. He's Dr. Dead. Two speeches at HempFest, your HempFest debut. How was it?
Dude, it was awesome, man. Really great times. You know, this is the king of all festivals. Been coming here 12 years, and it's my second year with 420 Radio, the other 12 with Urban Age Designs, and it's just been great. Family, it's like a family reunion.
Everybody says that, that's for sure. Speaking of family, we got Jesse James Gardens.
Hi.
Jesse
What's
in the up? Foreground, James in the background. Together they are Jesse James, much like Brangelina. Or Philium H. Muffman. That's my own.
That's my own.
So, having a happy HempFest?
A very happy HempFest. It's been a good year. The sun stayed out the whole time, and I got my G-Pen.
You got your G-Pen, yay! How about the gardens? How are the gardens doing? You got to be excited to tell about 3460 passing.
Yeah, we're very excited. We're getting ready. We've been buying lights and expanding our garden, and we're really enjoying the whole garden life. This is a big break for us. One day off is huge.
Yeah, well, yeah. Getting ready to bring quality medicine to the patients. Definitely.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people are now, you know, they saw that Sanjay Gupta special, they saw Charlotte Fiji, they saw a lot of emphasis on CBD in that special. So are you guys moving toward that in any of your work?
Yeah, we're looking at strains right now. We've tried a few Harlequin seeds. We're looking at different CBD strains. We really want to find something that we can turn into a solid CBD oil, because we're competing in the Secret Cup in September, and we know that the CBD oil is a really big thing. So
the
we
Secret
want to be involved.
Cup?
Yes.
Yeah, did you just blow the secret? Because
we might have. It is in Seattle. We're coming back up here on September 21st.
21st. Yeah. 22nd, that weekend.
Yeah. Right
that
on.
That weekend, yes. And it is oil competition. There's concentrates only, and I'm not sure how many people are competing, but we're really excited to give it a shot.
Oh yeah. Well, and at the other cups have you been involved with, had some success with your various concentrates and
we have
flowers?
Never entered a concentrate
first?
Cup. This is
just for concentrates.
Yeah, this is our very first one.
Well, let's see what we're dealing with here.
They're not in there.
Oh. People watching worldwide, they love this, that we're just sitting here on the water,
in
chilling
Washington,
out,
legal,
looking at hash.
I'm in life.
Oh, can I see your hash? Oh, look at your hash. Your hash looks nice. How about your hash?
We make shatter.
Your hash is shiny. Oh, your hash.
Whoa. It breaks. It's a little hot today.
Yes, it's very nice. Well, that just makes me want to smoke some.
I know. No torches at HempFest.
No torches.
It's been a flower-friendly event. We're not used to that anymore. I've been finding the secret dab station. They've got those new temp temples and a couple of the e-nails. So
yeah, those electric nail heating up.
Roofs I thought with power have been in high demand.
I thought that was a really nice development too, because just in taking the dab, it felt smoother through the whole dab.
I really like that it's a lower temperature, so
yeah.
You're not having any hot nail, you're not burning your lungs, and you're able to
you're not burning your terpenes either.
Yeah.
Because at the lower temps, you're able to actually taste the oil.
And it doesn't look all cracky-lacky. Yeah.
No. Yep. And you know what? You're able to dab and dab and dab. You don't have to reheat your nail. You can just walk right up and go. It's kind of bad, but it's also really nice.
It's like tequila on an IV drip.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's a nice development, but maybe not the best idea. No.
We maybe don't all need them in our living room.
Yeah.
But at festivals, they're amazing.
All right, so if people want to get in contact with Jesse James Garden, can they do that through
of
Facebook
course.
Or stuff?
Find us on Facebook, Instagram, Jessi James Gardens. That's a hard one. Jesse's spelled weird.
But no E. Only
no
one E in Jesse.
Yes.
Not
yes.
Like Jesse's girl, Jesse.
Yes. Yeah, that's a boy name.
That's
Mine's
a boy
with
name.
An I.
Jesse with an I, like Jesse Coulter, Waylon Jennings, and Jesse Coulter.
Yes.
She spelled it Jessi.
Really?
Yes.
Like Jesse Coulter.
All right. Thanks.
Also on Instagram.
Also on Instagram as well, Jesse James Gardens.
Thank you.
That's it from HempFest. We'll see. Oh, we had a good time at Seattle HempFest. We might have a couple more videos tomorrow, including Coral Reefer interview. I know that's one that we got to get out there. Thanks for joining us here. We got plenty of show coming up next. We've got the, speaking of Coral Reefer, her latest Sunny Sunday is coming up next here on 420 Radio. You can get in our entire schedule by going to 420radio.org/schedule. Makes a lot of sense. It's a Google Calendar. You can subscribe to it and know exactly when your favorite show is going to be on or replayed here on 420 Radio. That's all the time we got for today. So for Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
planet, you grow it, you giant, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you